and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. Glad to have you with me all across the fruited plain. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, E-R-I-C-K, best of both worlds there. 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Prayers out of the gate. Dan Crenshaw, he's been on the program before. Dan Crenshaw, the congressman from Texas, he lost his eye in combat. He has had surgery on his other eye, detached retina and cataract removed. Keep him in your prayers, please. He's effectively blind for the next month. He sent out a statement over the weekend. That's rough. My wife had a detached retina, gosh, several years ago. She had surgery and my son had his tonsils and adenoids taken out the exact same day. Yeah, what a mess. I nearly had to take off work for 2 weeks, running back and forth between the two of them for pain medicine and all. It's miserable. And of course, she still had a good eye. He does not. So keep the Crenshaw family in your prayers, please. Now, it is remarkable to me this story has not gotten a lot of attention. Two stories rolled into one down at the southern border. The Biden border czar announced her retirement on Friday. For perspective, she's been on the job for 80 days. 80 days on the job, and she announces her retirement. I do not think it was a coincidence that on the same day that she announces her retirement, she also announces, before she makes her announcement, she holds a press conference. Let me actually pull up the Reuters story and read this to you. This is unbelievable. This is the Biden administration. From Reuters, the United States is considering a conditional cash transfer program to help address economic woes that lead migrants from certain Central American countries to trek north, as well as sending COVID-19 vaccines to those countries, a senior White House official told Reuters on Friday. They're sending the Bill Gates one with the microchipped. The potential program would be targeted at people in the Northern Triangle region of Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. Roberta Jacobson, the White House's southern border coordinator, told Reuters in an interview without saying who exactly would receive cash. Roughly 168,000 people were picked up by the Border Patrol at the U.S.-Mexican border in March, the highest monthly tally since March 2001, and part of steadily increasing arrivals in recent months. We're looking at all the productive options to address both the economic reasons people may be migrating, as well as the protection and security reasons. She did not provide a detailed explanation of how a cash transfer program would work. Wait a second! I gotta go back to this clip. Hang on a second. I have played this clip more times than I care to, but it's relevant here. This is for March 22nd. I've kept this audio on file because I knew it would come in handy. This is the illegal alien who talked to Martha Raddatz from ABC News. Listen to this.
This significant surge coming after President Biden ended Donald Trump's so-called Remain in Mexico policy, requiring asylum seekers to wait there for their court proceedings. Since then, many of those tent cities along the Mexican border have emptied out as people start streaming in. We were there when a bus of 56 asylum seekers arrived at Casa Elitas, a Catholic charity shelter in Tucson. Men, pregnant women, and children stepping off the bus with only what they could carry. This father, who asked that we not show his face, traveled to Mexico from Brazil.
Listen to this. Listen.
And three young kids before crossing the border.
Would you have tried to do this when Donald Trump was president?
Definitely not. Definitely. We had the chance, you know, the same violence that's going on today was there last year. We used to watch the news, and I definitely won't do this.
So did you come here because Joe Biden was elected president?
Basically.
Basically. And we wouldn't have come here without, from Brazil. They watched the news. Now, Ilhan Omar, got on TV the other day and said, it's not like these people are watching the news. Except here's this illegal alien from Brazil, no less, who says that, yes, they did watch the news and they would have never have come here when Donald Trump was president of the United States. And now suddenly they're coming because Joe Biden is president. You have an illegal alien who admits on national television, ABC News with Martha Raddatz, no less, not exactly a conservative, that they pay attention to the news, would never have come here if Donald Trump were still president, but is coming because Joe Biden is president. The left is in complete denial that Biden's change of policies are causing this influx, despite this guy on television saying, well, anecdotes, not data. What do you think it's going to do? You've got, what's her name? Roberta Jacobson on national television and in the newspapers on Friday saying, we're going to consider a cash payment. Now, they're calling it a conditional cash transfer program. It's a cash payment. It's a welfare handout to illegal aliens who aren't even in the United States just to keep them from coming here. They're bribing people to keep them from coming. You know what that's going to do? Supply and demand. It's going to cause more of them to want to come, or at least to agitate and say, hey, if you don't pay me cash, I'm coming to the border. What? How is it that the Biden administration doesn't have basic economic sense? Well, I guess when you've been raised by the wolves of the Senate your entire career, you've never had a real job. Of course, you don't know basic economics. Well, it is not I don't think it is unrelated. She gave this interview on Friday saying that the Biden administration is going to consider a program of cash payments to illegal aliens to keep them from migrating to the southern border. And on Friday afternoon, they tried to bury it. You barely heard about it. I wasn't even going to start the show with this. And then I was getting ready for this where it's like, holy cow, this isn't even a major news story. How is it not a major news story today? Roberta Jacobson to step down at the end of April. The border czar, Roberta Jacobson's last day in the Biden White House, will be at the end of April before she retires. She announced Friday. The former ambassador to Mexico has been at the forefront of the administration's efforts to handle the surge of migrants at the border, which shows no signs of stopping. Her departure comes after there were more illegal border crossings in March than in any single month in 15 years, on top of record numbers of unaccompanied minors overwhelming government immigration and shelter systems. What? This is pretty much an admission, even though they're not using the word, pretty much an admission by the Biden administration that there's a crisis at the border. I know, to admit that there's a crisis at the border would not be good optics. They're worried about the optics. They're worried not about how things are, but how things look. And they're worried about it. And so Roberta Jacobson, she's got to go. But she makes matters worse on the way out the door, saying, hey, we're going to give cash money to illegals to incentivize them not coming to the United States of America. Good gracious. And the summer's coming, and the flood of migrants is not slowing down, even in the summer. Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, was on television talking about this weekend.
Governor, there's plenty of Jane and John Does who are found, unfortunately, deceased out there in the desert. And then we also see these other pictures, like the 3 and 5-year-old girls who were dropped over the border fence, that 11-year-old boy the other day who was abandoned by the group that he was traveling with. And you wonder, where is the outrage on the left that we heard so much during the Trump administration to similar situations?
Well, you're exactly right. And that's what people need to understand, and that these horrific images and tragic deaths, as well as assaults that we're seeing right now, they would not be happening if the Biden administration had not opened up the border and been completely unprepared for the massive influx of the young migrant children that they are enticing to come across the border. those deaths that you're talking about, those bodies that were found, that is only going to increase as the summer months get very hot. We see the deaths of the migrants coming across the border really increase in July and August, when typically the temperatures down there can be 100 or above 100 degrees. The temperatures are mild right now. The terrain as well as the temperature will be far worse in the coming months, and we believe that, unfortunately, the deaths will increase in the coming months. But this exposes exactly what the cartels' approach is. The cartels make money off of getting these children to come across the border. All the cartels want is to get money by delivering these children across the border. After that, they could care less what happens to them. You know, we had this story about the cartels throwing a young child, a six-month-old child, into the Rio Grande River. Yes. And that's what they think about it. You saw them dropping those kids across the fence. These are very dangerous people who could care less about life. They're just trying to profiteer off of them. The Biden administration needs to crack down on these cartels, secure the border exactly the way that it was done before with the Remain in Mexico protocol, and make sure that things like these tragedies don't occur again.
And wait a second. So the cartels want money. They get the money by delivering the child to the border. They don't care about the condition of the child. Throw the child in the Rio Grande. And now the Biden administration is going to pay. They're going to pay cash money. Essentially, the Biden administration will be subsidizing the cartels to ensure the cartels don't bring kids up. This is where we are with the Biden administration. A buddy of mine just texted me and said, you know, maybe newsrooms across America would take this stuff seriously if we were taking all these illegal aliens and giving them jobs in the reporter industry. Give them jobs in the news field, and suddenly America's newsrooms would solve the border crisis. Probably not a bad idea. You know, they're coming after Substack again. Substack is an email newsletter the media despises because the people the media tries to cancel can get an email on Substack and people can pay them. I've got a Substack newsletter. It actually helps me cover the cost of this program. And the media hates it. They hate all of this stuff that you can bypass them. Well, you got to bypass them because they're carrying water for people like the Biden administration. How many of you knew Rebecca Jacobson announced on Friday cash payments to illegal aliens south of the border? And how many of you knew that 80 days into the Biden administration, she has decided to retire? Must be a tough life to work for 80 days and say, I'm hanging it up. And you know the Biden administration excuses. Well, she used to be the ambassador to Mexico. She's been at this for a while. Really? The fact that anyone with a straight face would believe that spin, that, we just wanted her for 80 days. No, she's made the situation worse. You can't bring yourselves to say it's a crisis, but you know it is. Welcome back. The phone number, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. This weekend, I broke out my Omaha steak burgers. I also did fried onion rings and French fries. People are shaming me for drinking a Miller Lite. Listen, you know, John Daly was quoted at the Masters this weekend saying he's a Miller Lite kind of guy. Been drinking it since he was 9. that guy, legend, hero. But I actually did my Omaha Steak Burger. Y'all, they're really good. And you can get 12 of them for free right now at Omaha Steaks. What you do is you go to omahasteaks.com and you put Georgia in the search bar, Georgia. And when you do that, you will get their Let's Go Grilling package. You get butcher cut fillets, you get chicken breasts, you get sausage, you get so much more, but you get 12 burgers. That's almost 4 pounds of hamburgers for free. Now, you go to the grocery store, you're thinking, I'll just go across to the local grocery store and I'll get me some ground chuck. Well, here's the thing. The Omaha Steak Burgers are actually a blend. It's not just ground chuck, so it doesn't shrink up like ground chuck burgers do, where you got to use your knuckle and put a little divot in the middle. You know, if you're making ground chuck burgers, you got to put a little divot in the middle. Otherwise, they shrink up and get these little balls almost. But nonetheless, you don't have to worry about that. With Omaha Steaks, they're delicious. This whole package is an incredible package. Listen, the weather is fantastic wherever you are. It is deliciousness delivered to your door. And you get 12 burgers for free, and they're really good. If you saw me on Instagram this weekend, you saw me grilling on my fancy grill with my Omaha Steak Burgers. go to omahasteaks.com, put Georgia in the search bar, up at the top, Georgia, and the name of the state, because that's where I am, complications, we'll get into that later, but Georgia in the search bar. And then you get 12 burgers for free if you order the Let's Go Grill package. You can always do upgrades too. All right, to the phones we go, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Greg, you're going to be up first today. Welcome.
Good morning, Eric.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. Let's follow a classic Rush Limbaugh adage. Follow the money. You think people in these countries are going to see a red cent? First, the bureaucrats in Honduras and Guatemala, et cetera, will skim their cut. And then in a classic mafia shakedown, the cartels will take every other dime. Mm-hmm. This is such sheer stupidity. It is mind-blowing.
Well, you can tell this administration has no basic understanding of economics, of how this actually works. Of course they're going to. So, I mean, let's put in perspective, Greg, what's happening here. These people are fleeing the border because they're fleeing the Northern Triangle countries because of gang violence, criminal cartels,
absolutely,
and a collapse of democracy. The Biden administration says we're going to start giving these people cash money. They're fleeing the gangs that are already shaking them down for money. Now the gangs are just going to come shake them down for more money.
Absolutely. It is just.
It's
numbing the stupidity of this administration. Ignorance.
It is. It's a waste of money.
Vast ignorance.
Yeah, well, it goes beyond that. Greg, thanks very much for the phone call. There's something else going on here as well. You know, progressivism tends to think collective groups of people are bad and collective groups of people are good, individuals are bad. Conservatism, more realistic, more grounded in the way people are, thinks individuals can be good, but collectively we become a mob. And along the way, one of the things that I think conservatism, whether you're a religious person or not, you tend to understand that at root, people are flawed. Whether you use Christian language, that they're sinners, or they're just that people have issues. I personally say people are stupid, and people are stupid. And if you understand that people are at heart flawed, sinners, fallen, however you want to talk about it, you have a better grasp of Adam Smith and economics, supply and demand curves. You understand people's self-motivation, people's greed, people's self-interest. You understand that when people get together in a mob, bad things tend to happen. I mean, I tell people all the time I'm a conservative because I'm a Christian. I believe we're all sinners, and I want as few in charge of me as possible. And that's why progressivism is anathema to me. The idea of a government bureaucracy in charge of me, a bunch of sinners in charge of me, is insane. The idea of the Biden administration thinking we can just throw money at these individuals and nothing bad is going to happen. I can tell you with just a basic grasp of economics, your average blue-collar worker out there who never went to college can tell you that bad things are going to happen when you send money south of the border to people escaping gangs. Of course, bad things are going to happen. Of course, bad things are going to happen. Of course, the gangs are going to shake you down. This is, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand this. And the fact that the Biden administration does not is crazy. Now, I don't want you to take my word for it. You can read these stories yourself. If you text the word data to 33777, I'll send you back the link so you can see both stories. The Reuters story about Roberta Jacobson saying that they're going to give cash payments to these people, and the Axios story that she's retiring. And how many of you heard this on the weekend shows? You know, I unfortunately for this job have to pay attention to the weekend shows. They're nonsensical shows. They never cover the substantive news. They always want to fluff up the Biden administration these days. None of them talked about Roberta Jacobson leaving after saying we're sending cash payments. And yet it's actually major headlines. See them for yourself. Share them with your friends. Yes, it's my Substack newsletter, but you don't have to pay a thing for it. Text the word data to 33777. Again, you don't have to take my word for it. Read the Reuters report yourself. The United States is considering a conditional cash transfer program to help address economic woes that would lead migrants from Central American countries to trek north. Text data to 33777. When we come back, the Supreme Court has struck a blow for religious liberty, striking down the Ninth Circuit yet again, and the left is beside themselves that religious liberty might actually win the day. Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the Fruited Plain. Beautiful weather where I am. I hope it is beautiful weather where you are. If you text the word data to the phone number 33777, I'm going to send you back a link with the information on the border czar leaving after 80 days and wanting to pay cash payments. You're going to get two other links in there, by the way. I interviewed Tim Keller, Reverend Tim Keller. He's got pancreatic cancer. He wrote a book, Hope in Times of Fear. Great for the Easter season. You can listen to that interview and check out my daily Substack newsletter. Yes, I have a Substack. Everybody's got a Substack. The Supreme Court has struck several good blows for religious liberty of late. The editorial board at the Wall Street Journal has an op-ed on this. The first significant distinction of the newly constituted Supreme Court concerns the free exercise of religion from government control. The latest evidence is the 5-4 ruling late Friday slapping down another California pandemic diktat on the freedom of worship. The unsigned majority opinion in Tannen versus Newsom overturned an appellate court ruling that upheld an order barring meetings of more than three families to worship in a private home. California treats some comparable secular activities more favorably than at-home religious exercise, permitting hair salons, retail stores, personal care services, movie theaters, private suites at sporting events and concerts, and indoor restaurants to bring together more than three households at a time, said the majority. Such desperate treatment between religious and secular activities is barred by the First Amendment, as the court's precedents have long held. In a testy dissent, Justice Elena Kagan argues that the state rule passes muster because it bars both secular and religious meetings of more than three families in a private home. She was joined by Sotomayor and Breyer. The majority points out the burden of strict scrutiny in such cases requires the state to prove that meeting in private homes are more dangerous for COVID transmission than those in public settings. Is there really a difference between the risks at a hair salon or a theater than in a home? The state didn't try to prove it in the case of the plaintiffs who brought the lawsuit against the pandemic order. Justice John Roberts, Chief Justice John Roberts, was missing from action, failing to write or join an opinion while saying he would deny the application for relief from the California order. The ruling shows the difference on the court from the confirmation of Justices Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett. At least on religious liberty, the chief is no longer the swing justice. The decision is the fifth time the court has overruled the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on pandemic orders against worship, as an exasperated majority points out. The willfulness of the lower courts in defying the high court underscores how much religious liberty needs protecting against the militant secular values that now dominate American public life. I have a theory on this. The Supreme Court has now five times in a row struck down Ninth Circuit rulings that restrict worship under COVID rules. One of the things California has gotten in the habit of doing is very much like states like New York when there are gun rules. They keep the rule in place until the Supreme Court decides to take the case. And then gets rid of the rule before the Supreme Court takes the case, says, well, it's moot. You can't hear the case now. This is what the gun rights or the gun control people did in New York. Remember, New York City had a law that you were not allowed to take your gun out of your home except to go to a gun range within the city of New York City. And the case went to the Supreme Court and they scrapped the rule because they knew what would happen at the Supreme Court. And they said, well, the issue's moot now. And this is what California is doing with their religious orders in the pandemic. They get to the Supreme Court and they cancel the rule and say, well, you can't hear the case. And the Supreme Court said, actually, we're going to hear the case anyway. And they overruled the Ninth Circuit, saying that you've got to hold comparable standards. Now, what Elena Kagan points out in her dissent is that it didn't matter whether it was a religious gathering or a birthday party or a holiday celebration, no more than three families in a house. What the court is saying is that you're allowing multiple families and people in a box at a stadium for a game. That's kind of ridiculous when you're reducing the number of people in a private home who may sit outside and ultimately still have to navigate and make decisions for themselves. California has done this repeatedly with worship services, and the Supreme Court at first, remember with John Roberts and the four justices of the left, John Roberts, who now I guess is more and more the moderate on the Supreme Court, allowed Nevada to treat casinos and churches differently. And I think that kind of radicalized some of the other members of the Supreme Court saying this isn't right that we are allowing these courts to do this. Amy Coney Barrett, I think, had stepped down or didn't participate. One of the justices, conservatives, didn't participate in that decision. And so it was Roberts and the liberals on the court were able to make that decision for Las Vegas. And now Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, and Neil Gorsuch, Donald Trump's appointees, are striking back on religious liberty grounds. By the way, this is a bigger issue. And the left's antagonism towards this issue, I mean, there were really vocal meltdowns on social media over this case over the weekend, and it has nothing to do with this particular case. There is a case pending before the United States Supreme Court. They are awaiting the decision. In that case, the city of Philadelphia punished Catholic Charities and demanded that they stop handling adoptions and foster care because, as you can probably guess, the Catholic Charities did not wish to deal with same-sex couples and transgender people wanting to adopt or foster kids. Whether you like it or not, 2,000 years of Christian orthodoxy is marriage is between a man and a woman. God creates us male and female. We don't get to do it ourselves. In fact, in Genesis, the word bara is used for God creates us male and female, meaning that's a word that only applies to God. We ourselves can't create in that way. And this is basic Christian orthodoxy. Whether you're Protestant, Orthodox, Catholic, it doesn't matter. God created us in a way that we ourselves don't get to create. So you can disagree with this if you want, but it's 2,000 years of Christian orthodoxy shared by like 2-3 billion people on planet Earth. And the city of Philadelphia came in and essentially told Catholic Charities, you must give up your 2,000 years of common orthodoxy shared globally by Christians if you want to participate in this government program to help place kids in foster care or with families to be adopted. And the Catholic Charities said, nope. And they got and they had to sue. And this case has gone to the Supreme Court. As you can imagine, the writing is on the wall that the Supreme Court is going to say you have to allow people of faith to uphold their orthodoxy. And you've got to allow people of faith to participate in government programs without sanction against them for being unwilling to abandon their long-settled religious practices. Now, of course, the left throws out these crazy curveballs. Well, what if it's cannibalism is your religious view? I guess I get to still kill people and eat them. Well, actually, there are other standards of faith and standards of the Supreme Court that you can't cause bodily harm to someone. This, by the way, is one reason the left has moved on from sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt me, to words are literal violence. Because if you say something someone doesn't like who deals with these issues, that's got to be translated into violence. Why? Because there is Supreme Court precedent out there that you can believe whatever you want to believe as long as your belief does not inflict harm on someone else. If words are literal violence, then when you quote St. Paul in Corinthians on sin, including sexual sin, then suddenly you're doing literal violence to the alphabet gang. If Catholic Charities can say, I'm sorry, we don't adopt to single people or we don't adopt to same-sex couples because it violates our religious beliefs, well, then you're doing literal harm to that person. Now, notice the little twist here. It's who is being harmed. The alphabet gang would tell you they're being harmed. What about the child? What about the child? Essentially, the state's argument in Philadelphia, the city's argument, is that we should reduce the number of places through which a child might be adopted, because some of those places only want to adopt into two-parent heterosexual nuclear households. And so we should reduce the ability of a child to be adopted, lest we offend certain other groups. And this Supreme Court case on Friday in California about the pandemic, that you can't treat sectarian and secular groups differently, you can't treat sectarian and secular situations differently, is actually a pretty big smoke signal that the Supreme Court is probably going to side with Catholic Charities. And so the left is more enraged by that than they are the actual COVID restriction, which, by the way, California got rid of to avoid this court ruling. In fact, when you read the decision, the majority opinion points out that this is increasingly a pattern on the left, that they will stop, they will get rid of a regulation if it heads to the Supreme Court, knowing the Supreme Court might strike it down. And so the Supreme Court is saying, you know what, we're no longer going to just say this is moot when you do this, because you're very clearly doing it, anticipating our result. And in many of these cases, what happens is the Supreme Court has said, well, the situation is moot, they got rid of it. And the moment the Supreme Court does that, they reimpose the regulation and the lawsuit has to start all over again. Now, I have a suspicion. I think this is going to happen. And I think, let me read you this paragraph again. It's the last paragraph of the Wall Street Journal decision, or op-ed. The decision is the fifth time the court has overruled the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on pandemic orders against worship, as an exasperated majority points out. The willfulness of the lower courts in defying the high court underscores how much religious liberty needs protecting against the militant secular values that now dominate American public life. I have a theory. If you will recall, during the Trump administration, progressives would find liberal activist judges to halt, overrule, delay, enjoin the Trump administration. The Supreme Court only takes so many cases a year for consideration. My guess is what's going to happen is the left now is going to use the left-leaning circuit courts and district judges to create so many cases that the Supreme Court can't take them all, or at least they think the Supreme Court won't take them all. So you get some bad court precedent around the country in ways that will make it harder for the conservative justices to make sure that the Constitution is being followed. So, for example, you may see a continued flood of pandemic orders that violate religious liberty. You may see a continued flood of orders upholding religious persecution engaged in by the Biden administration in ways that overwhelms the Supreme Court, such that the Supreme Court can't strike them all down. And you will see bigger circuit court splits. Now, what will happen is when there are circuit court splits, now, let me explain what a circuit court split is for those of you who don't know. The nation is divided up into, how many circuit courts are there? There are 13. There are 13 circuit courts. Yep. The 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and then the District of Columbia Circuit applies to cases that come out of D.C., and the Federal Circuit comes out of Federal Circuit has subject matter jurisdiction for patents, copyrights, and the like. So you got these 13 courts. The Trump administration was able to prioritize circuit court appointments and shifted a number of them to the right. But the circuit courts, what they typically do is they make three judge decisions. And so you could potentially get like two Obama court judges and a Trump appointee on this three judge panel for the circuit court, and it rules for the left, and then it's got to go to the full circuit. And if you overwhelm the system enough, you can get a lot of bad law. So circuit court splits come about when, say, the 11th Circuit and the 5th Circuit. The 11th Circuit handles Georgia, Alabama, Florida. The 5th Circuit handles Texas and Louisiana. And so you could get those two courts disagree with each other. So in Texas and Louisiana, the law of the land says X, And in Georgia, Alabama, and Florida, law of the land says why? Because the circuit courts disagree. And you've got to follow what your circuit court says. And those are the cases that go to the Supreme Court. Whenever there's a major circuit court split, it goes to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court has to decide, ultimately, which side to go with. What I think we're going to start seeing is a greater number of circuit court splits around the country as the left, as best they can, through the circuit courts the left still controls, create a bunch of decisions, a slate of decisions that will ultimately force the Supreme Court to get involved. The question is, how many of these cases can the Supreme Court take in a year? And do they wait out? Maybe, you know, they're trying to pressure Justice Breyer to retire. Clarence Thomas is getting up in age. What happens? The next 2 years are going to be very interesting to watch this fight play out. But I can tell you right now, there is a 5-4. And really, it probably actually is 6-3 in a lot of these decisions with John Roberts. There's at least 5-4 majority on the side of religious liberty, which is great as Christian persecution ramps up in this country. Even though the left says it's not a thing, it clearly very much is becoming one. Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, if you want to be a part of the program, 877-97-ERIC, E-R-I-C-K, 877-973-7425. Now, if you're a new listener, hi, those of you in Tyler, Texas. If you're a new listener, if you ever see a picture of me, I'm a fat white dude because I like to cook and I like to eat a lot. And so I put up recipes at ewerickson.com and I have one coming out. So the last several times I've sent out recipes, every Wednesday, I send out a recipe and people are complaining because they're all either they're on my smoker or they're on my grill. And some people that they haven't discovered the joys of a pellet grill or a Big Green Egg. So they want something to get, well, it's dessert time this week, folks. My mother-in-law has a recipe for peanut butter Rice Krispie treats. Oh yes, they are glorious and they are easy to make. And so I'm going to send out a peanut butter Rice Krispie treat recipe this week. If you would like a copy of the peanut butter Rice Krispie treat recipe, you text the word recipe to the show number 877-973-7425. Text the word recipe to 877-973-7425, and you will get a link back. I will text you back a link. Now, I've got it automated. I'm not sitting here talking and multitasking. I mean, I multitask, but not like that, to all of you who text. So you'll get a link back. If you click the link, it'll open up a web form and you just put in your email address. You don't get spam. You don't get ads. You don't get anything. You just every week get a recipe and I will send you the peanut butter Rice Krispie treat recipe. I had bourbon and cigars with friends on the front porch last night. I used my smoke wing recipe available on the website and made the Rice Krispie treats and they were delicious. I'm sure you all care. Here's what you should care about. Twitter is censoring people who dare to point out the founder of Black Lives Matters has bought a $1.4 million house in a predominantly white neighborhood in Los Angeles. Jonathan Turley has this. We've been discussing the expanded censorship of Twitter and social media. The latest example involves the story of Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Kahn Cullors, 37, and her purchase of a $1.4 million home in a secluded area of Los Angeles whose population in this neighborhood is reputedly less than 2% black. The professed Marxist received considerable criticism for the purchase, including from Jason Whitlock, an African-American sports critic, who's also a critic of BLM. When Whitlock called out Kahn Cullors, Twitter censored the tweet, leaving a notice that it was no longer available. Last week, various sites like dirt.com reported, quote, a secluded mini compound tucked into LA's rustic and semi-remote Topanga Canyon was recently sold for a tad more than $1.4 million to a corporate entity that public records show is controlled by Patrice Kahn Cullors, 37, the social justice visionary and co-founder of the galvanizing and for some controversial Black Lives Matter movement. It produced a firestorm of critics who noted that Cullors has long insisted she and her BLM co-founder are trained Marxists. We're super versed on sort of ideological theories. Critics like Nick Arama of Red State pointed out, it's interesting to note that the demographic of the area are only 1.4% black. Jason Whitlock posted as well, and now Twitter is censoring people for pointing out the communist has bought into a wealthy enclave. Now, to be fair, in L.A., $1.4 million could be a double wide, but it's in a progressive enclave of white people that she's decided to move into. Very interesting, but you're not allowed to talk about it on social media.